This morning's scripture is taken from 1 Peter chapter 4, the whole of the chapter. So then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same attitude he had and be ready to suffer too. For if you are willing to suffer for Christ, you have decided to stop sinning. And you won't spend the rest of your life chasing after evil desires, but you'll be anxious to do the will of God. You have had enough in the past of evil things that godless people enjoy, their immorality and lust, their feasting and drunkenness and wild parties, and their terrible worship of idols. Of course, your former friends are very surprised when you no longer join them in these wicked things that they do, and they say evil things about you. But just remember that they will have to face God, who will judge everyone, both the living and the dead. That is why the good news was preached even to those who have died, so that although their bodies were punished with death, they could still live in the spirit as God does. The end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given gifts to each of you from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Manage them well so that God's generosity can flow through you. Are you called to be a speaker? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Are you called to help others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then God will be given glory in everything through Jesus Christ. All glory and power belong to him forever and ever. Amen. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad because these trials will make you partners with Christ in his suffering. And afterwards, you'll have the wonderful joy of sharing his glory when it is displayed to all the world. Be happy if you're insulted for being a Christian, for then the glorious Spirit of God will come upon you. If you suffer, however, it must not be for murder, stealing, making trouble, or prying into other people's affairs, but it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by his wonderful name, for the time has come for judgment, and it must begin first amongst God's own children. And if even we Christians must be judged, what terrible fate awaits those who have never believed God's good news? And if the righteous are barely saved, what chance will the godless and sinners have? So if you are suffering according to God's will, keep on doing what is right and trust yourself to the God who made you, for he will never fail you.
Thank you very much, Jeremy. We're continuing to look at Peter's first letter this morning. We're discovering what it means in this letter that we should love Jesus. We've been discovering what it means that we should love each other. We've been thinking about what it means to be a chosen people together. And last week we were looking, or a couple of weeks ago rather, we were looking quite practically at the various relationships that we have and how God wants us to live within them. So I've called this week's sermon, Faith in Practice, Even When It Hurts. If we are serious about following Jesus, there will be times that it does hurt. There will be times that we will go through pain. The people that Peter is writing to are going through a very difficult period. There's no evidence that at the time anybody was being killed for their faith, but certainly people who believed were being mocked. They were perhaps being discriminated against. If you were a servant with a non-Christian master, life was very, very difficult for you. So Peter is encouraging them here that they have to live out their faith in the situation that they find themselves in. Perhaps it's no surprise that in the middle of this Bible reading, there is this instruction that above everything else, We are to love one another deeply. When we read the New Testament, when we read the stories of Jesus, when we read the letters that the early Christians wrote, this is the point that they make again and again and again. Wherever we are being told what is most important, it comes down to loving one another. That's why God calls us as family together. We were never called to be just individual Christians. We were called that we should know each other, that we should love one another. And if you find that you're hearing this from me a lot, the reason that you hear it from me a lot is because the Bible says it a lot, and often with phrases like above all, or this is what is most important. If you love your neighbor as you love yourself, you have obeyed the whole of the law, is what the Bible says. So when we're thinking about faith in practice, it can mean lots of different things in lots of different places. But the number one thing is, are we growing in our love for each other? Are we growing in ways that we express that love for each other? Now, these people that Peter is writing to are getting this really hard time from people who are outside the church. So it's really important to them that they manage to hang together, that they manage to hold themselves in a close community together. If we want a measure of how well our church is doing, I, for one, would say this is the number one measure. Are we growing in our love for each other? In fact, to say it really simply, if something is loving, then that thing is good. If something is not loving, then that thing is not good. It really is that simple. There are lots of things the Bible tells us to do, but they are all summed up in this idea of loving one another. So Peter says to these people, don't give up. Keep doing good. Keep loving. So the last verse in the translation that I have here of 1 Peter 4 says, so then, those who suffer according to God's will, what he means by that is if you are doing God's will and you suffer for doing it, he says, if that happens, you try to be a Christian, you try to behave as well as you possibly can, and you end up suffering for it. If that happens, he says, number one, commit yourselves to your faithful Creator. Remember that God is faithful to you. Remember that God's love for you is not going to wear out. And he says, continue to do good. You know, doing good is vastly underrated in our society. Do gooder in some parts is almost an insult. But we have been put here as God's church so that we can do good. And today we want to honor mothers amongst us who are doing good. We've got the box here for the food bank. Great to see sort of quite a bit of stuff there for it today that we bring every week, because food bank is doing good. People are not going hungry because there is a food bank in Middleton. Praise God. That's the sort of thing that the church should be doing. There are people out on the streets doing street pastoring at nights because they want to do good. There are people who are doing brownies and guides and, oh, I could just do this list that goes on and on. Why do these things? Because we want to do good for other people. So Peter's saying to these people, when you're given this hard time, don't get put off. Don't try and fight fire with fire. Just keep doing good. and remember who your God is. Now, in this scripture, Peter does give some pretty strong warnings about people who do not believe and how we are to relate to them. I think it's important to remember when we study this chapter that they were getting a very hard time. He says that these people, when they started to believe in Jesus, had to make some pretty drastic changes to their lifestyle. Some of us who are here today have had to do that. We came to faith in Jesus and we realized that some of the things we were doing before were not loving, they were not Christ-like, and we said, okay, we're going to stop doing these things. And you get mocked for it, you get laughed at for doing it, people think you've gone a bit weird, and that time of adjustment can really be quite destabilizing. It can be quite difficult to cope with. So Peter is saying to these people, you've got to keep going with that. You've got to start doing the loving behaviors that Jesus has called you to do. What I want to stress, though, is that what Peter is not saying, and we said a lot about this a couple of weeks ago, but I think it needs to be stressed here. Peter is not saying, separate yourself off from the rest of the world. Okay? He's saying, separate yourselves from behaviors that are unloving. There's a huge difference between the two. So if there are people who want to draw you into the wrong sort of behavior, you say, no, wait a minute, I believe in Jesus. I'm not going to do that. But it's perfectly okay to partner with people who do not know Jesus yet, who want to do loving things. Because if they want to love, then we are on the same side. And one of the lovely things that Ruth and I have discovered since moving here is that there are a good number of people who really want to love the community around them and who really want to care for it, who are prepared to put in a lot of effort to make that happen. There are people who really do love their families and want them to get the best upbringing possible. And it's not our job to want to separate ourselves off from them and say, well, we're Christians. No, whatever is good, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, let's join in with it. Let's say me too. Let's speak up everything good that we find. I thank God for many good people I know who do not yet know who Jesus is. But to use a phrase that Jesus used, they are not far from the kingdom of God. 1 Peter chapter 4 gives us a list of behaviors that Christians are to avoid. And at the risk of repeating myself, the reason that we are to avoid these behaviors is because they are unloving. Now, I'm not going to go into the detailed list of the things that he says, but it seems to me that the two main things that he's talking about are things to do with drinking too much and things to do with not having your sexual desires under control. It is not loving to drink too much. It causes catastrophe. It causes death. It causes violence. It causes financial problems. It causes temper outbursts. There's nothing loving about living a life where you are drinking what is not good for you. So Peter is saying to these people, you need to make sure that having come to Christ, having got to know him, that you are not sucked back into that sort of behavior again. Now, please don't get me wrong. You know, there may be people here this morning who have addiction issues, who have temptation issues. You are welcome here. This is a place where people can come exactly as they are. We do not put a barrier at the door saying you've got to behave in a certain way. But if you do have an issue with alcohol, then please can I encourage you to get help with it. Please can I encourage you, if you haven't done so before, to be really brave and to admit that you do have an issue. Because faith in practice is about self-control. And of course, self-control is not just about alcohol. There's lots of other things it could be. It could be overeating. It could be drugs. There could be a whole lengthy list there. But Peter is saying to these people, look, you have come to Christ. The resurrection power of Jesus is within you. Now, with your brothers and sisters' support, with the love of people around you, you can be free. And you can be changed. And the other things on the list seem to be mostly about sex. Again, you cannot love if your sexual desires are out of control. All sorts of things happen, and there's been so many of them on the news recently for some of the most spectacular cases of this. I surely don't need to go into detail. But happily, we are waking up all around to what happens when people's desires are out of control. So Peter says to these people, be self-controlled. And then he says, right, sorry, I'm adding to his words here. He's saying, here's the big benefit of self-control. Do you know what you can do when you're self-controlled? You can pray. You know, somebody who's sloshed with alcohol is going to struggle to pray. Somebody who is a slave to their own sexual desires is going to struggle to pray. But as the Holy Spirit gets to grips with us and make us self-controlled, we are able to relate well to our incredible Creator who loves us. And as a church, we're learning what it means to pray. One of the things that we're seeking to do this year is to learn to pray together, perhaps more and better than we've done in the past. So there are behaviors we need to get rid of, and there is a huge payoff for getting rid of them. And then Peter starts to give them, well, it's not really a list, but he talks about the better way to live. And basically what he's saying is, whatever you've got, use it to serve other people. I think it was a few Sunday evenings ago we were looking at one of the things Jesus said. You know, he was saying, the greatest person amongst you, the greatest person in this church is the one who serves. And as Peter says in this letter, the person who serves using God's energy, the person who comes to God and says, God, I want to serve. Not coming in saying, Lord, I want to be great. Perhaps not even saying, Lord, give me some gifts. Sometimes believers can worry too much about what gifts do I have and what gifts don't I have. No, the person who wants to serve and the person who says to the Lord, right, Lord, I want to serve my brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, give me the strength to do it. I'm finding that God gives us this ability to serve that perhaps we never had before. That's what practical Christianity is about. We have a deacon's election next Sunday. I should have mentioned that in the notice sheet, so we'll take this as the formal notice in the service now. We have a deacon's election. Is it next Sunday or is it two Sundays? No, it is next Sunday. Next Sunday, we have this deacon's election. Deacons are there to serve other people. They are there to model it. But it's something that God calls each and every one of us to. So can I suggest, you know, you want to grow in your Christian faith? I want to grow. We've been saying it's about love. Let that love be expressed practically in what you do. Pray to God today and say, Lord, I really want to serve. I really want your energy so that I can serve my brothers and sisters. And even, Lord, I want to be great in this church. How do you become great in this church? Not by becoming a deacon. But you know what the word deacon actually means? It means servant. You become great in that sort of way. And here's the thing. As we learn to love, and as we learn to serve, we also learn what it means to hope. We are born again, Peter says, in this first chapter of this letter, into a living hope. And this living hope is the day when Jesus Christ is revealed. And here's the incentive. On that day, whenever it comes, we want to be able to say to the Lord, Lord, we lived our lives for your glory. Lord, we weren't perfect. We messed up often enough. We always did. But Lord, we gave it our best shot. And we tried to love together. And we tried to serve together. And Lord, now we see the one who truly loves and who truly serves and is truly great. Now we are overjoyed. That's the word that Peter uses in this letter. Wouldn't it be great if we spent the rest of our lives seeking to model ourselves on Jesus, seeking to be like him, seeking to know him, so that on that day when we really do see him, we will go, yes, that's it. And on that day, perfect love, the perfect love that he has for us and the love that we have for him will cast out all fear. And there will be rejoicing like this world has never known. And as we learn to love and as we learn to serve, that hope takes root within us. And if it's difficult to learn to serve, Peter asks a question that he doesn't give an answer to. He says, if it's hard for you, what do you think it's going to be like on that day for the people who don't believe? He doesn't answer the question, so I'm not going to answer that question today, because that would encourage us perhaps to go the wrong way. What I want to encourage us today is to say, Jesus will be revealed. Jesus is returning. Lord, make me ready. Make me a servant like him. You know, we say in our church value statement that our attitude should be the same attitude as that of Jesus Christ, the one who was in very nature God and yet made himself absolutely nothing. So judgment begins with God's household. It may begin with people laughing at us. It may begin with people mocking us. I have some atheist friends. They're very polite to me, but boy, they love to mock me. They love to send me these quotes from atheist comedians who try and make out that what we believe is so stupid. And as that thought comes into my head, another thought comes into it. And it's the words of an old hymn. And the words go like this. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me has been made known, nor why unworthy as I am, he claimed me for his own. But, God, say it with me if you know it. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. Yeah, that's our hope. Let's look forward. Let's live that life of love as we prepare for that great day. Let's pray together. Father, we praise you this morning. Lord, we come to worship you. We praise you that by grace we have been born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and into an inheritance kept in heaven for us, which can never spoil or fade. And Lord, you'd call us to that inheritance. You call us to love each other. Lord, thank you for the love we've already seen in this service today. Thank you for all the love that you've given us through Audrey over the years. Lord, may we continue to be a church that is growing and learning about love all the time. So, Father, this week, Lord, we pray that you'd keep us self-controlled and sober. And we pray that you will give us the power and the energy truly to serve each other. Lord, may we be able to take one or two steps that we haven't taken before. And Lord, on that day, when Jesus is revealed, Lord, let us be people who are overjoyed because we are meeting the one that we already love and serve. Lord, to you be the glory. Amen.